Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Wind Up podcast. I am your host, Mike of MTGA Wines. It is good to be back after the long weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself over Memorial Day. It was a blast. We had our annual Bottle Rock Music Festival to supplement tastings and hosting folks out at the winery, so we were able to go catch a few or quite a bit of the shows actually there. It's one of those things that it's a festival, so it's a lot of people, but it seems to be one of the smaller ones out there, and it's very well organized. Plus, it's like Napa restaurants, Napa wine. If you need your cheap beer or cocktail, you got that there. Well, let's be honest, cheap for festivals like $12 for a beer and like $20 for a hot dog. That's kind of how it runs. For those of us that, you know, are okay being charged, we kind of equate it to going to a baseball game. You know you're going to get gouged a little bit, but it's still going to be a lot of fun, right? So it wasn't all that bad price-wise. But it was an amazing time. And I realized, I've been thinking for the last week, you know, this is the fifth Wednesday in May. It is May 31st. We have a bonus episode because there's five Wednesdays in May. Initially, as some of you know already, I plan on doing four episodes a month because I was going to release this every Wednesday. I figure that's perfect. You know, that gives us, easily 48 episodes a year, easy math. And then in my, I guess, naivete, didn't even think about months that, hey, there's actually a fifth Wednesday. So these fifth Wednesdays are kind of an opportunity to dive into some different things and maybe take this, you know, take a show a little bit of a different direction than what we have been doing for the last few weeks and kind of maybe spark some different topics and just talk about things that, you know, pertain to the wine industry, but maybe, you know, broaden the scope of what we talk about here a little bit. And since we have this music festival in our rearview mirror, I figured it was the perfect time to really dive into wine as an art form. Because I look at music very much like art. And I think many, many people do, the way it kind of elicits emotions and memories. It's very, very synonymous with wine in that sense. That if you're opening up, you know, a bottle of wine from a producer you visited here in Napa or abroad somewhere, you're immediately transported back to that time you had there or the first time you had that wine or maybe the friend that introduced you to that wine. And now you have this great memory. You know, much like when you go to your first concert and you remember the ins and outs of going to that show. I can tell you right now that I was actually, growing up, I was not allowed to go to concerts. Sorry, Mom and Dad, I remember this very vividly. And it might have been okay, but the shows I wanted to go to, I was not allowed to go to. Growing up, for better or for worse, in our household, I had the privilege of listening to a lot of John Tesh, Enya, a lot of the Phantom of the Opera soundtrack. Saw that show like three times before I actually ended up going to a concert, per se. My musical history, it's something that Brittany and I talk about all the time, was very stunted in its growth in my youth. And the first time I really started getting into music was I had an aunt and uncle that bought me a couple CDs. And one was, one Christmas, they got me Queen Greatest Hits, which was a great first, you know, set of songs to listen to. I'm going to really explore something different. But the next one was no doubt Tragic Kingdom, which is still arguably, I think, one of the best albums ever made. If you're into that like punk rock and ska kind of scene in California, like I am, it's one of the holy grail kind of records, right? And I remember that show so vividly down at Shoreline Amphitheater here in Northern California. My first show so vividly because it happened to be No Doubt, and I was so excited. They were headlining it. Phantom Planet opened. For those of you that don't know who they are, they did the OC song California for that TV show that was super popular at one point. I never watched it personally, but apparently they did the song for that. And then Blink-182, which just awesome. And then No Doubt finally went on. And that was my first show. And I like, there's so much emotion tied up with the friends I was with, how we got there, how we got tickets, what we did. I'm pretty sure I still have the t-shirt that I bought at that show. It makes me all warm and fuzzy remembering that show. And wine, I think, can do that as well. It's interesting the way that it can, because it's just a beverage, right, at a certain point. But it has the ability to go back and reach into the memory banks and say, hey, you remember that one time we were drinking wine with these people and that person, and we opened up this? And all of a sudden, you start reminiscing about the things that you were doing. And I don't think you can really do that. I've never had that experience with beer or a cocktail. Maybe a certain dish or food can do that, because you remember something you had, ate when you were traveling somewhere or at a friend's house, whatever the case may be. But it seems like wine and music in that way of eliciting emotion and memories seems to be very, very synonymous. And I think it has everything to do with the art form, with maybe some exceptions, right? Now, and I apologize, I'm sipping on some coffee. I'm still playing catch up. A 3-day music festival, it's now, well past that. I'm still catching up on some sleep. So I'm sipping on my third cup of coffee this morning, just trying to keep up. Now, I think the interesting thing about both wine and music, and I'm no music expert. I just very simply know what I like. I can't even tell you like the names of the people in my favorite bands necessarily, except for maybe one or two of them. Like, that's not how my brain works. Like, you asked me about a specific wine that I had and when and who was there, I can lock in and tell you all about that. Music, for whatever reason, I've never been, even song names. I don't know song names necessarily. I don't know album names. I just know what I like. And that is another thing that translates very, very well from wine and music. It's just, you know what you like, and no one can tell you any different. You know, when I started listening to music and finally started getting into it, I had a lot of friends that were into rap and hip hop. Chronic 2001 through Dr. Dre had come out, and they were all into that. Eminem was kind of exploding onto the scene. Limp Bizkit and that rock rap kind of hybrid before Linkin Park came into the fold was happening. And I was like, I'm just not into this stuff. Like, it's fine. Like I'm not mad at it. It's actually, it was kind of funny because I hear these dudes that are yelling and cussing and talking shit. And it was more entertainment than it was like emotional. Like, I'm tied into this music, but for whatever reason, like No Doubt Tragic Kingdom, listening to that thing cover to cover, I can do that. I actually do that multiple times a year, probably even a couple of times a month. Is listen to that album cover to cover, just because it just brings back so much memory. And I think wine is very synonymous in that way, right? Is that it has, this just amazing knack for being subjective, where some people are going to absolutely love the top 20 Billboard hits. You have the Swifties going crazy right now with the Eras Tour. And I'm like, I know some Taylor Swift songs, but, she seems very talented and apparently has a lot of boy trouble if you read the internet enough. And I don't know. I just don't, good. If she's on a stage somewhere and I happen to have a ticket to watch her, then great. But if not, it's not something I go out of my way for. And I have friends that are like, I have to get to one of her shows. I'm kind of like that with Blink-182, now reunited with the trio. Tom's back in the fold. They're coming out to Sacramento towards the end of June. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have to go to that show. Like, it's such a an amazing experience that I had the first time I saw him and the next couple of times I saw him. Now that it's kind of the one of the OG lineups after they axed their first drummer. You know, for those that don't know, Travis Barker was not their original drummer. See, there's a little bit of music trivia that I know, right? But it's one of those bands that I'm like, I have to go see. And there are certain wines that when they're released, I'm like, I need to try these or I need to buy a few bottles so I can check them out for like the same reason, because it's like, I love what they do. I love how they incorporate into our life and how we enjoy these wines at home or with friends or whatever the case may be. Like the parallel, I could just keep going on and on and on and on and on about the parallels. But what I really, really wanted to get into was kind of the direction of the manufacturing of wine and music versus the art form of wine and music. Because that's something that us as small producers out here, we talk about all the time. It's all about your senses and what you taste and what you smell. And we're making these judgment calls based on what the wine needs versus what it has to taste like. And musicians, did I say that? Did I say that dumb? Musicians? That's right. You ever have one of those moments where you're like, I'm pretty sure I'm saying this dumb and I don't know if I'm saying it right? That just happened. I'm pretty sure I nailed it, so we're just moving forward. Anyway, you have this, you know, ebb and flow of, you know what, hey, if I hit this note or this chord at this point, or I add this, or we do that, it adds this X factor to the song, or you mess with the timing signature, or whatever. Like, you have something that you can do to enhance and bring an album or a song to like a next level. And the same thing happens with wine, where there are certain things you do or not do for that matter that will bring a song to the next level. And I guess the real impetus for this conversation is it's Friday night. This is last Friday. If you're listening to this down the road, this is the first Friday of Bottle Rock. So it's right, you know, the Friday before Memorial Day. And the two headliners that night that were like, you know, we wanted to see were, number one for me was Smashing Pumpkins. Had never seen them and loved their music. Good old fashioned, like 90s rock band. There's no one else out there that really sounds like them these days, except for maybe like Silver Sun Pickups or someone along those lines. They have this very, you know, I love them. They're just this very unique sound. I loved having to, you know, playing Guitar Hero and having to try and play Trub Rock, like, and it was a pain in the ass, but we get through it to get past that level. And then at the main stage, they were at one of the kind of second biggest stage, and at the main stage was Post Malone, which for all intents and purposes puts on a great show. Am I in love with his music? No, but he's a performer. We actually have some friends that work in the music industry. They've worked around like his crew and whatnot, that have like nothing but the nicest things to say about the guy. So we're nowhere near that orbit, but you know, like you hear it through a friend of a friend kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, if we can go see him, we might as well. I mean, tickets to see him alone are probably not cheap. So if he's at this festival, we might as well go try and see him. But I very specifically said, I was like, you know what? It's kind of just one guy singing into a microphone and it's just all auto-tuned, and I don't really care. Like, it'd be fun to see him, but me personally, I'm just not, like, I'd rather go see Smashing Pumpkins, which is why they're number one for me. And I know full well how much auto-tune is used within the industry. It's so pervasive, and there's so much technology and science that goes into producing music, whether it's at a live show, or it's being, especially when it's being recorded to make it sound, you know, right. But I was like, you know, I don't know. It just, this seems like kind of the good old fashioned rock band yelling into a microphone versus the guy that's a little bit more manufactured. So I wanted to, you know, give kind of credit where credit was due in my mind for the band that was playing all the instruments, you know, and has been doing it for, what, 30, 35 years at this point, versus, you know, we'll probably have another chance to see Post Malone, hopefully, because it'd be cool to see him. But I'm like, it seems like it's more manufactured to me. I'm typically not a big fan of the top Billboard charts at music anyway. It's just not my style of music. So I'm just gonna, he'll be secondary. And it's just that subjective opinion of I want to kind of support whom I think is the artist versus whom I think kind of relies more on the manufacturing of music to, you know, be popular. And that seems like kind of a dick thing to say. Now, having said it out loud, that probably seems kind of rude. But it's how I felt at the moment in having to make a choice, what stage am I going to go to? And it would just so happen that at the beginning of the month, I had a very similar question when it came to wine. And we're out in Kansas City. We're doing an event on a Saturday night. And a gal and I get to talking about just wine, what we buy, how we buy, and what wines we drink at home. And she asked very, very candidly, you know, what wines from like the big producers do you buy? Like, these are the wines that are readily available. They're easy to find, you know, whether it's Sterling, Camus, Silver Oak, Prisoner, and rattled off like kind of the name brands of the wine industry here in the United States. And was like, which one of these, like, do you buy and do you recommend that we buy? And I told her, I don't, like, if you...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever you want to buy, go for it. But I don't buy or drink any of those wines. And she looked at me like I was crazy. She's like, wait, what do you mean you don't buy any of these wines? And I kind of had to explain just that same opinion, but in wine terms of, you know, all these guys, they wouldn't be where they are. Their businesses wouldn't be as successful as they are if the wine wasn't good or good enough, right? But I have no interest in those wines. To be completely, I mean, shoot, I actually last week tried some Silver Oak and I'm like, oh, that's right. This is why I'm not a huge fan of Silver Oak. And it's nothing, and it's not that I hate them as a label or, you know, think they're doing it wrong. It's not to my taste. You know, Silver Oak as an example, like, and that much American oak that's brand new that they throw at. I think it's 100% probably still American oak that's been their thing for a long time. I've never actually worked there or made the wine, so I don't know exactly, but it's so heavy-handed and it's so intense. I'm like, give this wine like 30 years and then I'll try it, because it's just, there's so much and it's overbearing for me. So again, very subjective. And I'm like, and I know how much wine they make, you know, the same goes for any of those other labels. Like, I know how much wine you make. Like, it's not the small boutique, you know, local, I don't know, band or whatever that we're supporting. We're supporting kind of the big guys, which, you know, no harm, no foul. Again, you know, if you want to, you know, you get to decide where your dollars are going, if it tastes good or if it sounds good, have at it. Interestingly enough, day before yesterday, we had a group out to the winery. They were talking about like their favorite local band. They're like, they're an amazing cover band. They have some of their own music that's also really, really good. We love them and you should try, if you're ever out in our area, you should try and see them, but don't tell anybody. We don't want them to get big. We don't want them to be the cool kids. We don't want them to be mass producing music. We want them to stay cool and local. Right? So again, the parallels between wine and music of, you know, big and manufactured and popular versus maybe smaller, you still draw a crowd, but it's not going to be, you know, on the top charts. Kind of thing. And all these conversations kind of led to me thinking about this just more and more and more, just the art versus the science, the small versus the big. And then, you know, we as small producers and small businesses, we love to talk trash about the big guys, right? We love it because it's easy to say, oh, well, you're not going to get the service that you get with us. You're not going to meet the people actually doing the work. You're not going to be able to do this, that. You're getting something that you can find anywhere and everywhere. It's not unique. It's unique, but it's not necessarily special anymore, right? Because it's so easy to get. And it's just different, but it's also kind of monotone. You know, it just kind of is what it is. Where you find kind of the cool, quote unquote, band or singer that's doing something unique and different as small or up and coming, it's like, oh, look at this. It's so exciting. You're kind of at the, you know, the tip of the spear of this thing being potentially discovered, whether it's wine or music or some sort of artist in some way, shape, or form. You're like, oh, here it comes. Hopefully they're successful, but we don't want them to get too big and lose who they really are. It's kind of the don't forget where you came from conversation, right? And it's an interesting conversation to have. And as it pertains to wine, it's something that we struggled with, and I still struggle with to this day, because MTGAs, you know, the wines that we make are just small enough that they're not, I mean, commercial success is not how we're built in terms of being widely available across the US in grocery stores, liquor stores, restaurants, the whole nine. Our brands and how we've crafted them are not set up for what many people would consider commercial success. And many small businesses are the same way. It's like you're gonna pay your bills and take care of, you know, paying the mortgage and putting food on the table. Are you gonna be a household name? No, you're probably not. And it's something that you kind of can either try to do and work your way up those ranks and become the highly rated, highly reviewed, popular wine, or you can, you know, be somewhere floating around the middle in there. And I think that's where kind of the dividing line is for the art and science of winemaking. Because the two camps are, right, we talked about natural wine. And why I despise it in a previous episode. Look that up. It's a fun one of me just telling you why natural wine's dumb. and you have that side of it where it's like the wine's in essence going to make itself. Mother Nature gave us everything we need. We don't need to do anything. It's our job just to guide it to being wine. And then you have we're trying to make this wine exactly the same year in, year out. Day in, day out, whatever the case is, and it's going to be manufactured. You know, there are plenty of wines that are mass produced where, much like any other mass produced beverage, like it's basically stripped of flavor, color, and everything. You have kind of the, you know, distillate of it, and then you add back whatever you need through the juice itself, extracts, concentrates, anything and everything to make it taste exactly how you want it to taste, right? You can lit it's I use this analogy all the time. You're going to hear me say it all the time. It's the reason a Big Mac tastes like a Big Mac. It's food science. It is engineered and manufactured to taste a specific way so that when you eat that burger, you know exactly what you're getting. And a mass-produced manufactured wine is no different realistically because you can doctor it up to taste however you want. And there are certain things that can be done to make sure your wine is what you need it to be for commanding whatever market share or clientele that you have, right? And then the natural wine side of things is the exact opposite. It's just, hey, we're making this, it's going to be funky and it's going to be weird. And you know, if you're into funky weird stuff, you're into funky weird stuff. I feel like natural wine is a lot like jazz. Like it kind of sucks a lot of times, but when someone really nails it, it's really damn good, right? I feel like that's a good musical analogy for natural wine is jazz, because a lot of jazz is just pretty bad. But you find like a cool jazz band in like a dimly lit bar that's actually like really got a good vibe going, it can be super cool, right? Natural wine's a lot like that. Now, those are kind of the two very vocal, I would say, minorities on either side, right? Because you have like the clean wine movement and the natural wine movement, rah, 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 and then you have the big producer manufactured stuff that is the, you know, the pervasive, that's the top 20 charts. You hear it every day on the radio. It's easy to find. It's everywhere, right? You're just gonna be inundated with it if you're looking, if you're just paying attention, you'll see it, right? And then you have everything in the middle, where you have some folks that say, you know what, I need to make sure that our wine is XYZ, but I don't want to use any of the additives and extracts, so we're going to use the science up to a point and then make sure there's kind of a hard stop. And then you have the other side of that, where it's, you know what, we're going to kind of let this ride and see where it goes, but if I need a backstop, I have it in the science. So along that spectrum, you have this wide range of things you can do. And I assume, not ever having made music before, it's very similar, where, you know, given a certain time and period, there's certain music that is very, very popular. And it's easy to jump on board and just say, hey, we're going to try and sound like X, or we're going to try and move in this direction. And some of that, I'm sure, comes from inspiration from other bands. I mean, that's the same for winemakers. You taste a wine that's kind of unique and interesting and special. Like, ooh, I wonder if I could play with that. I wonder if I could play with that and see if I can adapt it or evolve with it and do something a little bit different. Then you have bands and their sound changes over the years to kind of suit the style that they're getting into. And I think that wine can be very much the same, where you see producers, they kind of slowly change and evolve, and then they always kind of stay true, I think, to themselves. I think you have to at a certain point, but there are going to be vintages and maybe other wines that they make that are going to be very, very different. Hence why Brittany started Blair Payton Wines, why I have another wine project that I'm working on in the wings as well, to kind of do something kind of fun and different and play around a little bit more and not be stuck with just a single style that you're trying to focus on. Try and do some different things and have some fun with it as well in the same line. So it is that, just that tug of war. How much do you want to rely on the science? How much do you want to rely on just nature doing its thing? And it's one of the, and we talk about this all the time when we're on the road, when we're hosting tastings, and it's one of those things that we as small producers, we try and talk about a lot, because I just saw this like random like little commercial of like someone describing, oh, here are how many ingredients that are in this chicken sandwich and why you shouldn't be eating it. And then like in the after video, he's like drinking a soda of some sort. I don't even remember which one it was. But I'm like, dude, like you can't rail on like the manufactured stuff and then be drinking a Coke. Like, that doesn't make any sense. The same reason, like, why, you know, in the episodes where we talked a lot about extracts and additives, definitely go back to, if you're interested in like the extract and additive kind of stuff and how it pertains and some of how this food science pertains to winemaking, we covered that in the first couple episodes, and we'll be diving more and more into that as we get closer to our year of winemaking, which will start in this August. And some about the different things that we can do or that can be done to a wine specifically. But it's like, it was one of those things, and I think I said it in that episode, it was, you know, I can't sit here and rail on these producers for doing that, like, you know, all these extracts and additives, I can't believe you do that. I'm like, dude, I ate a bag of hot Cheetos yesterday. Do you know how much nonsense is in that bag of hot Cheetos? All of it. In fact, all of it's nonsense. It's heavily manufactured and processed, but damn it, they're delicious. So you don't want to be hypocritical about it. You have to kind of keep that in perspective. So, you know, when I hear, you know, Post Malone, and I say, you know, I don't really want to see him because I think he's just manufactured kind of popular music. It kind of is that same vibe of like, you know what? There's plenty of stuff that you enjoy that's manufactured. And I make no mistake, the Smashing Pumpkins, as great as I think they are, have their tricks of the trade as well to get the sounds they want out of their instruments and probably out of Billy Corgan's vocal cords. So, you know, whatever the case may be, like there are certain exceptions. And one of the most important things, I would say the A number one most important thing, whether it's music or wine, because it's something that we preach, is to remember that if you like it, it's good. Don't let anybody tell you it's different. It could be the top 20 Billboard hits. It could be the bands you've never heard of before in your life. It really doesn't matter. As long as you enjoy it, that is what matters. And this was that conversation in Kansas City, like when someone asked me, What big producer do you buy? And I say, I don't buy any of them. She immediately felt bad. She's like, oh, now I feel like I'm dumb. She said, like, I feel like I'm dumb for buying these because if you guys aren't drinking them, we probably shouldn't be drinking them. And I had to sit there and be like, no, please. That's not what I meant. If you like those wines, drink them. Go for it. Have at it. This is not like, there's no wrong way to enjoy it. Now, if I did have to sit through Carly Rae Jepsen this weekend. And when you hear Call Me Maybe, you're like, I am dead inside. You're like, I know this is just, this ain't it. This ain't it. And that song was such a meme when it came out. You're like, I gotta hear it. I gotta hear it. You know, I just have to. I gotta try it once. Right? It was terrible. Carly Rae Jepsen, you seem very talented, but sorry, I can't. That song is, ugh. It was so cringy. I'm glad I had had multiple beers by that point. But, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like every once in a while you're like, ooh, that was, I understand why it's popular. I don't like it. The same thing happened, you know, trying that Silver Oak. I'm like, I get why it's popular. When I tried that glass of Silver Oak last week, I was like, man, I understand why it's popular, but man, it's not my thing. It is not my thing. And I felt it's kind of that weird thing where as much as we talk about like, hey, this is how to enjoy it. This is how to listen to music. Vinyl sounds better than CDs. It sounds better than Bluetooth versus, hey, these small producers taste better than the big guys. It doesn't matter. Just enjoy it for what it is. And it's okay to give people a hard time about it. And if they take that seriously, that's on them. You all know by this point, I love talking a little bit of shit. So, you know, anytime I can kind of get my jabs in, I go for it. There weren't really, I'm like looking at the lineup over here on my other screen. I'm like, there wasn't really anyone. Actually, I will say Wu-Tang Clan put on a killer show. Killer show. They put on a great show. Camp was actually very surprising at this last festival. The National, that was a fun one. So Brittany has been a National fan forever. And she plays their music all the time around the house, in the car, whatever. I'm like, I just don't get it. Like, it's not really my thing. Seeing them live, though, and there are bands that are like that, right? That you hear it recorded and you're like, I just don't get it. Band of Horses is another band that I'm like, I don't, it's just not my thing. And then they came out, this was probably a few years ago, we saw them at Bottle Rock and you're like, oh, this is very different than what I thought it was. Like, their recorded stuff is trash, but them live is really good. It's kind of how I feel about the National. The recorded stuff, I'm like, it's not really my thing, but the live is amazing. Oh, we did see Sheryl Crow. That was just fun. I mean, that was just fun. Bastille was pretty good. Not my favorite music, but they put on a good show. We did catch a little bit of Thievery Corporation. This is like the humble brag. Here's all the cool bands we got to see this last weekend. Airborne Toxic Event was awesome. So were the Struts. We did get to see Neo because Dogstar was there. So Keanu Reeves and his band. Well, it's not his, it's like their band. They haven't played a show in like 20 years or something, but they were here. So seeing Neo and John Wick up on the stage, like 40 feet away, was kind of rad. Airborne Toxic Event was great. That song, was it After Midnight? Whew, heart-wrenching. I think that was pretty much it. There was a bunch of other stuff that were like really solid. But like, that's kind of the great thing about like the music festival. You get to like peruse around and see what you see, and maybe you find a really solid band that you never heard of, and maybe you just, you know, see the people that you want to see. It was a great, great show. And it really, I mean, the translation to wine was just perfect. Perfect to have this conversation about, you know, this art versus and the subjectivity, and just you like what you like and don't worry about it so much. Because it's one of those things where it's like you go to a tasting event. We're actually, for those, shameless plug here, we're going to be in the East Coast, in New York, D.C. area, and in Philly in June. We have tickets available on our website, mtjwines.com. Shameless self-promotion. So if you're on the East Coast, check out those tickets on our website. But we're going with a handful of other wineries. So there's going to be six of us in total. We're renting out a space, hanging out, pouring wine for folks. And this is what we tell people, you know, at this event, is like, go around, try a little bit of everything, kind of like a music festival, or, you know, or you're out in Napa and you're doing a day of tasting, you're hitting up two or three wineries. It's kind of like that. You're trying to kind of get the lay of the land and maybe experience something different, maybe see or go to a place or taste wine that you know you love and you just want to see what's new and different, like seeing a band that's putting out some new music. You want to go and see how they're performing it now. it's very synonymous. And you're going to find some stuff that hits, you're going to find some stuff that doesn't. And either way, you're probably going to have a good time. Yeah, I had to sit through Call Me Maybe, but there was a bunch of other stuff going on that was really, really cool. Very much like going wine tasting or coming to an event and hanging out with a bunch of us yahoos and drinking wine for an evening, you're going to find some stuff that you really, really enjoy, most likely. You might find some stuff that you don't really enjoy. And both of those things are equally okay and important to enhancing your overall experience of wine or music or whatever it is that you're into. Is just trying new things and getting out there and getting after and just seeing what's going on. So it's amazing to me how similar these two industries are. And it's something that the more I talk about it, and even as I was thinking about it, like, how does this really, really connect? And it was the one thing that I was like really paying attention to throughout this last week. And I was trying not to work too hard so I could just enjoy the music. But at a certain point, my brain kicks in. It's like, this is kind of crazy how similar both music and wine are in their science, in their art form, how they're both enhanced or not, or manufactured or not, and what people like them. Because I think any one of us can remember growing up and you're into a certain style of music. This is that Queen Greatest Hits album I was talking about at the very beginning. I remember bringing that to school and being ridiculed because it wasn't Eminem, it wasn't Dr. Dre, it wasn't any West Coast rap. It was just, it wasn't what was popular. And I was basically shunned for a couple of weeks because like, oh, Queen, what are you? You know, you can imagine all the insults that started flying. So kids are assholes. But it was one of those things that any of us can remember. Like all of a sudden you're not into the cool thing and people give you hell for it for whatever reason, right? And then as we grow into our own, we realize, oh, I really don't care what you think. I'm going to listen and enjoy what I enjoy. And that's that. There have been plenty of times, I shouldn't say plenty. There have been literally a handful of times, count them on one hand, where someone's come out to the winery or I've been doing a tasting event somewhere and someone's been like, you know what? The wines are fine, but they're not for me. And I'm like, all right, cool. No harm, no foul. Thanks for coming out and giving me some of your time and bending your ear a little bit. That happens very, very rarely, but it does happen. I mean, the same thing's true of music, right? You hear a song, like, you're like, I'm not really that into it, but, you know, it's fine. You know, I'm not going to change the radio station necessarily. So it's something that just is, the parallels. I keep going back to it. It's just, it's amazing to have these industries kind of do what they do, because you're always going to have your old reliables, your line them up to knock them down, the bands that you love, the wine that you love, and no one can tell you any different. And you can just enjoy them. And then it still leaves room for exploration and enjoying other stuff as well and trying to figure out what else is out there. I mean, I can tell you right now, pretty much every time I get into the car at this stage, the music I'm listening to is some combination of Newfound Glory, Blink-182, what else has been in there recently? Actually, I've been listening to a lot of Metallica too recently. And actually, it's pretty much those three. Those are the three, like if I'm just getting into a car, or actually Silver Sun pickups as well, those four. Those are like, wherever I'm going, whatever I'm doing, I queue up one of their songs and I just put it on shuffle on a playlist because I'm still that guy that makes playlists. And I just, then I just drive and do whatever I got to do. I got to run to the warehouse and ship some orders today, right after I'm done recording this. So I'm going to put on some music and just, you know, run my errands and do the work that I got to do. And it's like those four that are just my staples. They're always there right now. And that's what I'm getting after. Very similar to the wine side of things. I've been drinking a lot of like Phillips Hill lately from Anderson Valley. It's been a lot of just kind of miscellaneous Napa cabs that we've been trying, whether it's been from Bremer or Jessup Cellars and a couple others. You know, it's just kind of like, yeah, we have these, let's try them and see what they're all about. Well, basically, you're putting your wine selection on shuffle and just saying, all right, well, pick one to start and then we'll figure out where we end up after the fact, right? It's kind of how we've been operating lately and during this like spring season between music and enjoying wine. It's crazy how similar these two are. Man, it's pretty wild. So I think, man, I don't know if there's anything else I can really delve into. I think the lesson learned after this week, and it was actually very, this is the great thing about being in and around it, is that you still kind of learn something, you know, every week, every month, something else going on. This, like, these random conversations, whether it was out in Kansas City or at the music festival or yesterday, you know, talking about the kind of local band that someone didn't want to blow up. It's amazing how it translates so well to other industries, and that still the utmost importance is, do you like it? And don't let anybody tell you any different. You might get razzed a little bit, but that typically, remember in elementary school when someone was making fun of you, that means they really like you. I'm pretty sure that's how it works, right? That's how it works. I do have to tell my friends this, or any new people within our group, is, by the way, if I don't talk trash to you, you know I don't like you, because I know you can't take a joke. And frankly, I don't have time for that, because I say some pretty outlandish stuff every once in a while. And with that, you got to be able to shrug it off. And if you can't, we're probably not going to be friends. I'm probably going to be super offensive, and you're going to hate me very, very fast. So don't take it too seriously. Just enjoy it for what it is. And hopefully, if you are getting razzed for it, it means that person actually cares about you, and they just like talking shit like I do. We'll go with that. There are definitely exceptions to that, let's say, but hey, all is fun and love and war and music and wine, right? All right. With that, we'll end it there. Thank you all so, so much for tuning in to another episode. This is what's so cool about the wine industry, the music industry, any kind of artistic endeavor, is that there is this ebb and flow between that art and the science. You have to decide where you want to be and how you want to conduct yourself. And you still can enjoy everything that's available along that spectrum for different reasons, you know, unless it's natural wine, because I don't enjoy that. That's, yeah, you know, but there's still plenty of room for everybody along that spectrum. And you can just kick back, relax, put on some good tunes, grab a good glass of wine, whatever it may be, and let it rip. That's the beauty of it. So thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be back next week talking a little bit more nuts and bolts of the wine business in terms of logistics and supply chain and kind of some of like the raw material stuff that's needed to get a wine from start to finish. So that'll be released next Wednesday. Please remember to share this with any wine-loving friends. Be sure to submit in the comments or head to our website, again, mtgawines.com, to submit questions for our monthly Q&As. If there's anything wine, hospitality, artistic, or science-related when it comes to wine and the enjoyment or just knowledge of it, please submit those so we can get those into our Q&A. The more you share this and the more people download it, the better we do on the algorithm, and it makes the podcast easier to find. So any and all support, and for those of you listening, has been just outrageously amazing. This has been a ton of fun and very excited to keep it going. So have an amazing rest of the week. Coast on into the weekend, pop yourself a good glass of wine, and we'll catch you next Wednesday. Cheers.